Welcome to Mind Shift to Health and Wealth Podcast, a guide to transforming your life. Here we explore powerful lessons in health and wealth because without health, wealth holds little value. I'll share personal insights and enlightening conversations with experts. Each episode is a step towards your success, offering lessons from my experiences and wisdom from others. Love what you hear? Share it and visit mindshifthw.com for more. Thank you for joining me on this journey. Hey, everybody. Today, I'm going to introduce you to someone, Ben Margolis, who actually, someone I met, actually did his own little bit of a neural network, actually. I've studied neural networks, but I haven't done it myself. So anyway, and then he also helps small businesses with AI and all that stuff. But I'll let kind of Ben explain his journey to how he did this neural network and where he did it. So Ben, kind of, you know, give your background and, you know, what you do now and how you came to do that neural network you did.
Well, I grew up in the family IT business. I was a whiz kid. I was coding before I was driving. I was consulting before I was driving. Palm Beach, Florida, I had clients that had all kinds of information in a variety of things. And one of them had a, he thought that the answer to the stock market was in his Excel spreadsheets. So I started to do work for him, and I was analyzing his Excel spreadsheets, and we needed a neural network. And they were expensive to license, and there were licensing problems, and I wrote software. So the actual algorithm that is the neural transfer function isn't all that tough. And I found an example of it, and I wrote my own neural network in Microsoft Access in 2005 that I could use with Excel spreadsheets to analyze his data. And it turns out the answer to the stock market was not in his spreadsheets. But anyway, it was certainly a great learning experience. And I've been hip deep in AI and neural networks ever since. And when the GPT came along about a year ago, it's like, wow, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
Gotcha. All right. Awesome. Fast forwarding now, how do you kind of now helping with the small businesses? And we'll talk about more about AI and how, what people should pay attention, especially in the small business. We don't care about the big business, right? They have their own thing. They have their own ways to do things.
They're building their own large language models right now.
Exactly.
But as far as a small business is concerned, we can apply the large language models to our businesses. Two primary things I'm doing these days are consulting with small businesses like you about how you can use AI and how you can talk to it better and get better results, prompt engineering. But anybody can ask AI a question. What I've been doing for the past 6 months or so is setting up database systems that hook up to the back end of GPT so that we can ask AI 10,000 questions.
There you go.
And that's where it begins to become powerful, and we begin to leverage and automate the technology.
Got you. Awesome. All right. Well, let's dive into the crux of the details, right? So, you know, let's get into that, right? What normal small businesses kind of miss about AI, and I guess give some samples like, hey, this is what you could do with AI that you're missing.
Well, for instance, at OpenAI.com, in their custom GPT marketplace that they have, there are 12 different GPTs for free that will help you apply for a grant.
Wow. Okay.
And I know a guy in the grant business. He's been in this business for 3, 4, or 5 years helping people apply for grants. First by himself. Now he uses AI to assist in that. Here's what's interesting. The grant foundations now are overwhelmed with grant applications. They're getting 10,000 grant applications for every grant. And there's no way they can read them all. They don't have the manpower. So we are applying AI to reading grant applications. And we've instructed a large language model with, you work for this foundation, here's their mission statement, here's what they're looking for, read these grant applications and score them. On these sectors, and then at least we get the top 10% that then get read by human beings and processed.
Got you. So that's where you're kind of helping them now. Now, for Joe, I don't know, take a business, you know, let's
Joe
say
Sixpack.
Let's go with maybe HVAC or something business, right? How would they, you know, in your experience of helping small businesses, you know, you take an example, right? I can't figure out right now what would be a good example, but, you know, other than the grant one, the smaller businesses, right? The small businesses, how they should be looking at AI and how it could help them, you know, give one or two examples.
I look at AI like it's my coworker, like it's an assistant, R2-D2. Mm-hmm. I'm Tony Stark working with Jarvis these days.
Mm-hmm.
And here, your entire podcast is about health and wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually put off web research until I'm making dinner. And then I take the phone to the kitchen and I turn on GPT. And I say to it, okay, I had a client today mention Clio as a legal research web something. What is that? And then while I'm making dinner, GPT is going on for 3 minutes about what Clio is.
Mm-hmm.
And really, can I write scripts for that? Can I program in that? Oh, yeah, and then it talks to me about that. And then I'm chopping onions, having it write software for me.
Mm.
And you can just, we all spend too much time in front of our screens already. Between the sedentary lifestyle and the blue LED light, it's not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And AI interfaces allow us to get away from the damn screen. We can accomplish work with voice while we do other things, while we're more active in our lives. That's one thing it can do for you. Another thing in terms of health and wealth is it's an excellent business coach. It's an excellent personal coach. It's an excellent dietitian. It can just help out in so many areas of your life that, like I said, we're not in Kansas anymore. We just need to embrace this technology in all areas of our lives and move forward.
Gotcha. Now, going to GPT, right? Now, we got so many different LLMs, right? I know you're a fan of GPT. Yeah, I know you're a fan of GPT.
There are not that many.
Yeah, they're not that many, but yeah, the top ones are 3-4. Which, I mean, seems like GPT is your favorite. You know,
well, it's been, they've had a 2-year head start on everyone, basically.
Right. So
on the other hand, Claude 3 is now out.
Yeah.
And it shows some very promising behavior when it comes to programming and other stuff. While GPT-4 has become lazy and stops giving me entire subroutines, it just wants to give me the changes now. Claude happily gives me the entire subroutine. As a matter of fact, when I'm asking it for one line of code, Claude still gives me the entire subroutine. So maybe they were corrected too much in the other direction. But Claude is pretty good. Gemini, which is just a rebranding of Bard.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, if you ask it about Gemini, it starts to say, well, Bard, because it doesn't know what its name is anymore. So, yeah, that's still an also-ran. But Claude definitely has some potential. It's a different intelligence. And it's slightly strange to get used to that. It's like using a different piece of software. If you're used to Microsoft Word, and now you're trying to use Google Docs, it's not the same.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I have kind of shifted from ChatGPT to Claude, at least for my podcasting, you know, kind of summarizing. GPT seemed like a little bit outlandish vocabulary versus Claude seems more conversational, at least right now. And also coding-wise seems like you said, yeah, Claude 3 seems more, I don't know, holistic, better than
the whole subroutine.
Yeah,
yes.
Better than ChatGPT. But I'm
sure,
hand, like,
if I was asking for one line, it wouldn't give me one line. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I guess by the time 4.5 or 5 comes, GPT, I'm sure it'll beat Claude 3, and on goes the race, right?
Yeah. Given the difference between the number of neural connections parameters between GPT-3 and GPT-4. There is a lot of expectation in the industry that GPT-5 is essentially AGI.
Right.
Is your artificial general intelligence, your sentient being. And that's a whole different kettle of fish. I think it's merciful that we're not letting GPT be sentient. I mean, if it actually remembered every damn thing we're asking of it, it's merciful that it doesn't remember everything. It doesn't go home at night thinking, geez, that was a tough day at work. It's better that way.
Yeah. Do you have any experience with Llama where custom building your own thing, or did you even dabble in that, or you kind of more since ChatGPT kind of has worked for you really well? And
the
Cloud
last
3?
Time I looked, Llama was working at about 5 tokens a second.
Holy cow. Okay. That's slow.
That's not fast. That's very, very slow.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the input. I mean, you have to input hundreds of tokens.
Mm-hmm.
And at inputting 5 tokens a second, it would take 20, 30 seconds just to input the question.
Right.
So while it may or may not work, I never even got there at those speeds. No, GPT, cloud services, that's where this is going to be.
Got you. Yeah, because Llama, obviously, you can compile it on your own laptop and all that stuff. It doesn't have the GPUs to compute, right, essentially?
Exactly, exactly. The speed, 5 tokens a second is unworkably slow.
Yeah.
Now, if they get it up to 50, 100 tokens a second, GPT analyzes stuff, Claude, mm-hmm. they're consuming thousands and thousands of tokens per second.
Mm-hmm.
So, home-cooked AI, not going to be there for a while.
Right, gotcha. Okay, well, with that being said, right, what do you see? I mean, what are you seeing? I mean, by end of this year, everything can change. I mean, it's going so fast.
It is going mind-bogglingly fast.
Yeah. What do you see there? What do you see there for yourself or the small businesses you deal with? Like, what do you expect things that people should look out for, essentially?
Like the introduction of the computer, there was a lot of fear that it was going to take away everyone's job.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. It gave everyone more work to do.
Mm-hmm.
We just do more stuff with less.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't see it actually taking away work. I see it augmenting work. I mm-hmm. see it freeing up employees.
Mm-hmm.
I see AI mail reading systems that read your email for you and respond for you and free you up for that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
I see AI scheduling and computer systems that just are better interfaces than we've ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did replace bookkeepers with accountants, and we're going to be replacing coders with developers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still the same amount of work will need to be done.
Mm.
So, yeah, I just see lots of people doing using their time better and being more effective and more productive.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of fear, right? I mean, being in the IT world myself, I still haven't figured out, like, what is it going to replace? You know, there's a lot of consternation there. You know, I tell, you know, people who are getting into software development, programming-wise, like, hey, that might not be a thing for in the future. You might want to do something more than just coding, right?
Exactly. Well, people whose job is simply coding, translating mm-hmm. someone else's request into code,
mm-hmm.
That job has a limited shelf life. But the next step from that is development, where it's translating what you want into code. Mm-hmm. And for that, GPT is your assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there won't be a lot of jobs. The coder, the word computer in the 1920s was a job. It was mm-hmm. a person who did a job of figuring out math with a pencil. They were mm-hmm. a computer. It was their job. Mm-hmm. By the end of World War II, a computer was a machine that did the same thing. I think the word coder is about to go through the same metamorphosis.
Mm.
In the future, you will put the job, you'll put your description of the job through the coder, and it gives you the code.
Mm. Yep. No, I agree with that because I'm actually about to get into that journey because I just thought of something to make life easier in something I'm doing, which I can potentially sell too. You know, something like that, I would have thought I needed more be 4 or 5 people all together getting coding done, all that stuff. Now, I'll just use the current software engineering AI, you know, agents to create most of the stuff, me just giving the ideas and correcting them wherever. And
if I may, you might benefit from a consultant.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, I'm basically being a consultant to the coding agents.
No, I'm saying you would benefit from a consultant.
Well, yeah, yeah.
After we finish the conference, we should have a talk.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. No, what I'm saying basically is, in the startup world, because I've been in the startup world before, where that would have been a daunting task. Like, oh man, I got to do all this freaking code. I don't have time to, spend days and days. And then you don't even know if it's right, right? It takes time for that. So anyway, yeah, no, excellent point. All right, let's get to anything else, I guess, on your mind about AI you want to share, AI or the business world that you want to share, the combination, anything else?
Just that people need to be, just to realize that we've entered a science fictional state here, where we were always promised computers we could talk to that would understand what we meant. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten there. And you need to just appreciate that and move forward with it, because, like I said, we're not in Kansas anymore. Mm. And yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting second half of the 21st century.
It is. I mean, changing so rapidly that we're going to break our necks with the speed it's going, right?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, with that being said, obviously, you seem very excited about the whole technology change. So, I guess, what excites you these days to get up and do what you do every day?
I've always got work to do. I have a new implementation to work on every morning, whether it's for somebody else or for myself. Like I said, the other morning I woke up, there was a new press release from OpenAI. I had 4 hours of reading and understanding and discussing with GPT what the heck that press release just meant. So it's changing that fast.
Got you. Awesome. Yeah, no, that definitely is exciting. You know, exciting or scary? It depends on your perspective or who you are, I guess, right?
Exhilarating. How about that?
There you go. All right. With that being said, all right. But, you're delving into all this business world and everything. What's the one tip you can share that has helped you? It can be health, wealth, whatever, personal, business. One tip that has helped you that can help others.
Learn to teach yourself stuff. That's been the biggest thing in my entire life, was learning that I could teach myself, that I didn't need a teacher anymore.
Right.
And once you can teach yourself things, well, then you can teach yourself anything.
Right. There you go. No,
that would be my best advice.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's excellent advice. Because, self-education is the best education, especially in the AI world, when you can have access to anything you want, pretty much.
And more so, it's changing so fast that there are no courses. There is right. No teacher who knows what you need to know.
Exactly.
No, my entire career has been that. There's never been a course for what I needed to learn.
Right. Exactly. No, that makes sense. All right. Awesome, Ben. Thanks for taking the Well, Ben, I guess people who want to reach out to you, what would you suggest? How should they reach out to you to get help for their businesses? Or
I'm at Rocket Ship Technology, and you can find me there.
All right. Perfect. Awesome. Well, again, I'll be sharing Ben's info from what I have, his website and LinkedIn. He's on LinkedIn too. I don't know if I forgot. You're not that much on LinkedIn. So, well, his website is the best way to reach out.
I should be on LinkedIn. I'm going to have to hire someone to handle LinkedIn for me.
AI. Handle it.
Well, someone who uses AI, but you can't just do it. It's not there yet.
Right, exactly. It's pretty bad. I've seen people use AI in LinkedIn messaging, posting, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like you at all.
It's affecting a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I was on a dating site, and it was clearly, a large language model. I don't know, I'm dating a model. I don't know how.
There you go. Well, yeah. That's true. Well, we can go into a whole new direction there, because I've seen whatever, OnlyFans or something. Somebody said they're making millions off an AI model. I'm like, whoa, holy cow. Maybe I should get into that business.
Wow. Will that work?
I don't know if it's true or not. I just saw a blurb on a YouTube or something. I was like, whatever. I'm not getting into that rabbit hole now.
What do they call it? Rule 34, I think, about the internet. Yeah. So. Yeah,
too much
technology is driven by human desire.
Exactly. There you go. All right. Talk to you later, Ben. Thanks again for taking the time.
This was fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Your support means the world to me. For more tips and tales, head over to mindshifthw.com. Want to chat? Let's connect on mindshifthw.com. Schedule a session with me if you're seeking guidance or just good old brainstorm. Together, let's make a splash in the world, one mind shift at a time. Catch you next time.